there was a sentiment online as well as internally that a lot of folks wanted the tunnels. So there was a lot of tunnel talk, you know.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a no-facts, all-feelings wrestling podcast. We're three women new to the world of professional wrestling, and what we can't figure out from context, we're making up as we go. We have friends who are better at learning. They're not on this podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah. How long did we have that intro? It had to have been like a year.
Like 2 years.
I think it was longer than that. It was not 2 years. It was not.
It was a long time.
I doubt it was even a full year.
Well, you know what? I can't prove it, so I won't venture a guess. But newer listeners, what you heard was our initial little, we still don't know very much, but we had to be a lot clearer up front initially about how little we knew. So we had the slightly longer intro to let people know, like, be nice to us.
The confidence we had after having watched wrestling for 6-7 months to start a podcast, it's the confidence of a mediocre white man, and I think we should be celebrated for it.
I think that we knew, though, we said we need to be, we need the podcast to learn anything. If we don't make this podcast, we're never going to improve ourselves. No. There's so much that we're never going to grasp. Yeah. We need, this was a tool for us.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, this was, like, the disclaimer, like, at the front that's, like, this flashing lights may cause epilepsy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this is when we were like, listen,
don't send us a message and say like that was dumb. We know it was dumb.
And my favorite
happy anniversary, girls. Do we even say
because it is our 3-year anniversary today, the day of recording.
Yes, that's the day of recording. Allie, my favorite other thing about this is that it was just one day we logged on to do the podcast, and you said, "I'm not reading all that. I'm gonna make this shorter." And we were like, "Yeah, that probably adds up."
I feel like someone actually was like, we have to stop telling people that we're this dumb. We're a little smarter now. And I don't think it was me, but I love it if I was just like, can't talk that much. It doesn't really sound like me, but
that was my memory that you were like, I'm not saying all that anymore.
It would be unusual since I love to run my stupid little mouth, but I love, maybe that's what happened. Congratulations, past Allie.
Now, Allie, I actually wanted to make a formal apology to you because last week on the pod, I think you got muted.
Okay.
The whole time, yeah.
We couldn't hear you. I'm really
sorry.
When
we got the tracks together, we were like, where are the Allie tracks? And we're like, well, we just gotta put it out as is.
Listeners, I had a dream last night that I was recording this podcast with my friends. You know them, Leah and Ann. And I fell asleep in the middle of recording, and they just, like, ended the podcast without me. So, to be clear, they're kind of in the right for anything they did in this dream scenario, I guess, since I went to sleep in the middle of recording. But I woke up, and I was like, oh, shoot, they didn't ask me anything about the rodeo. Like, I thought I was going to tell them a whole bunch of stuff about the rodeo. So then in the dream, I keep being like, guys, do you think maybe we should go back and record a section about the rodeo? And they're both just blanking me in the group chat. I don't think I mentioned this, but, like, Leah in this dream scenario, she keeps just sending things like, oh, no. And then it's just, like, a link to a fun video. Just not... I woke up disgruntled, and I told my friends about this, and they said, Liz Razor about that. We're going to pretend she didn't even go to the rodeo.
Immediately, we were like, let's start a bit that she's been here the whole time.
It's such rude behavior.
Alexandra, how was the rodeo?
How was the rodeo?
Thank you so much for asking. I don't know. I think it's a little worrying that, like, my subconscious was so preoccupied. Like, they better ask me how my rodeo experience was. It was good. It was, you know, I'm a little bit of a regionalist now, accidentally, because I've been out here in Minnesota for 10 years. So I kept comparing all of the, you know, they have a big convention center basically where you're wandering through and you're looking at different kinds of bulls, and there's a little miracle of life area and sure. a cow's placenta is hanging out. Like, that's the kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I kept being like, well, we have a much better setup here in Minnesota for the state fair because we've got a lot of permanent barns. So it's actually, it's a really beautiful setup here in Minnesota. I don't know why everyone talks about the rodeo that much. But then
Texas needs to hear it, to be honest, you know.
Well, they don't need to hear this next part, though. So we did go into the stadium where the rodeo events actually are happening. My brother and his now wife had purchased, so there was a Jonas Brothers concert that night. And to get Ooh. Into the stadium, you need to have a ticket to the event that's happening that night. So they had bought, but the tickets were expensive for some reason. I don't know that I think that the Jonas Brothers are such a draw.
Because their fans are now old enough to have disposable income is
that's
why.
That's true. That sure. is right. But so they had bought these five disparate cheap tickets from all over the stadium. And they were like, we're just going to go find a row to squat in, which is my nightmare. Like, I like to really follow the law. Okay, and I learned that that's not what's happening in Texas that much. They were like, we'll just squat in a row till someone makes us leave. We get into the stadium. We had to go up so far because we're going up to, like, the rafters to find some seats that people aren't in. And when I came out into the seating and looked down at the rodeo, I felt like I was in a Star War. Like, that's how far up I was. I felt like I was in the Galactic Senate looking down at a rodeo. I was getting vertigo. Like, I guess I don't go to big events that much, but I was just like, this can't be normal. It can't be normal for something to be this big and you'd be up this high and then you wow. look down and little children are just roping steers. They had these pairs of, it was like carriages, buggies, with pairs of horses racing each other in the rodeo ring in the intergalactic stadium. And I did afterwards, I did say, I think things may be bigger in Texas.
Nice. I was hoping that was the punchline that you were driving towards. Yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't a punchline, Anne. It was a real realization I had. And it's something that has made me understand our country better.
Good. That's good. I'm glad you had a real growth experience.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we could call it that. Sure. I learned. I learned and my mind expanded. So, but what I also learned is I don't like being up that high. So yeah. big. Oh, scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept thinking, like, you could fall. You could fall.
So true. So you're not going to climb Everest.
I think I personally won't. And I personally am also glad that Darby will not be doing that this year. And I hope we all are. I hope he never does.
Yeah. I hope he lost his deposit and he takes a hard look at his choices.
I hope he's destitute now. I hope he can't afford it. I hope he can't afford anything. Well, you guys did a wonderful job on the podcast last week. I had a great time listening to you while I packed and on the plane, and I really felt itchy. I was like, I can't believe I wasn't there. I can't believe I didn't get to record with them.
We missed you. It's always hard to be a two-legged stool.
So true. So
it's
true.
Not what's best for us no. as a group.
No. It's no. not right.
No. After like 3 years, yeah, this doesn't balance the same way.
No. You got to think about it the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. Learned one way of podcasting. I can't mix it up.
No. Mm-mm.
No. Well, we're good at it. So I guess that sounded so arrogant.
Yeah, we're amazing at it, obviously.
We're amazing at our specific, like, niche of derangement. Like,
we do that better than anybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do tunnel talk. We're good at hanging out with each other. Yeah. You know, we're good it's at our having main a talent. Good time. We're fun-loving girls, and we're good at that.
That's true.
That's nobody, true. Nobody get mad at me. I don't think we're especially good at podcasting. We're better than we were when we started.
That's all you can hope for.
It's true. Anne, when we logged onto this Zoom, was like, should we record the pod with our built-in Mac mics?
in tribute. I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have one person be almost inaudible and another person shouting into the mic.
We'll be doing like work Zoom call meeting protocol where you don't laugh out loud because we had to like train ourselves to like laugh at them into the mic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was hard.
We're like
first.
On mute when we're not talking.
Perfect. Yeah. Let's take them back and see just how bad it can be.
Make them really appreciate our current infrastructure.
Are you guys happy? We've been podcasting for 3 years.
I imagine if this was the moment that I was like, I have to say,
it would really derail the episode. I'll say that.
Girls, it has been weighing on me, actually.
I have to give you some bad news about my live stream future.
We need to talk.
Yeah, just surviving, like, I mean, the worst of the pandemic was like, you know, over by the time we started, but like, it was like the weirdest part of the pandemic, you know, like
yeah. mm-hmm.
experiencing 2021. I don't think I could have done it without you guys. And we wouldn't have done it without producer Marjorie. Like we just kept being like, ha ha. Yeah. Like, what if we started a podcast? And then she popped us into a little group chat and said, girls, it's in your reach.
She said, it's actually literally anybody can start a podcast. And we were all shocked, Pikachu. Just like, that can't be right.
I think we were like, ha ha, yeah, totally. And then she was like, so are we recording a pilot episode on Sunday? And we were like, oh, I mean, I guess. Yeah.
How many pilots do you think that we did? Did we do two?
I think two.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
I think we did two.
Our lost that episodes. Would be they're not lost. Funny. They're purposefully put away.
Yeah. That would be very funny to look at.
Yeah.
To listen to again. I'm going to
maybe true.
See if I can find
dig
those.
Them up.
Yeah, yeah, go find those. I wonder what we were talking about back then. I mean, it was another world.
I remember, so in the beginning when we were fine-tuning our like notes structure, you were like, we were just putting down topics that like we could talk about. And I remember putting something down that I had seen discussed many times in Squared Circle. And so you put it in the schedule. And then you were like, and Leah, you wanted to talk about this. And I was like, oh no, not me. And so
Leah said, I just kind of thought there'd be somebody else on the Zoom. Like, I kind of thought there'd be an expert on the Zoom.
Often that's still your energy when Allie calls on you. But
okay, but she doesn't intro things, and she'll be like, and this next topic, Leah will speak on. And then I'm like, that moment where you're like not paying attention in school, and you're like, Jesus Christ, what's everybody else looking at?
I don't blame you for your reaction, but it is very funny sometimes. Like, I will say something, and you'll look at me like, how dare you? And I'm like, you put it in your notes. You put it in your notes. It's your special topic.
And you expecting us to remember what we put in our notes is like our listeners expecting me to remember what I said 2 days after the podcast goes live.
Well, I've learned that more over time.
Almost invariably, it's not that I don't want to talk about it. It's that I don't know what I'm supposed to say. And so I'm scanning the notes frantically and being like, what are we on? But
it's true that sometimes I do act like you should be able to read my mind. I'm like, look into my eyes. You know the time.
Well, you know, I do feel, whenever I do this, whenever I do that, I do feel like I've dropped you in a trust fall, you know. It's not like what I want.
It's okay. Just a couple of bruised knees.
I think we've gotten better, though. I think we have.
Yeah. We've really hit a
groove. From when we started, we've gotten a lot better. Actually pretty good.
I wanted to bring it back positive.
Now since we're just airing grievances. I know. I've been feeling very, very like simpy about our podcast today. There were so many times when like wrestling was bad and I was having a bad time. And there was at least one time when two out of the three of us were being like, I don't know how I'm going to be on the podcast tonight. Like, I feel bad. And the third, I feel like it was maybe Allie was the third one being like, well, you know, we don't have to record an episode tonight. And we were like, oh no, like we should, it'll make me feel better to record the podcast. And it did make me feel better to record the podcast.
Yeah. We've never left a recording feeling worse than when we went in.
So true.
I think.
No.
Yeah. We've always felt better and usually by a fairly exponential degree.
Yeah.
And I think go ahead, Leah.
No, I wonder what it'd be like to listen to most of, like, 20, most of the, would you say 2023 was our worst year? What, 2022? I don't know.
Yeah.
But well, the last part of
2022,
September to September, that was the bad fiscal year.
Well, and then the rest of from September to December of 2023 was also
September
quite bad.
To December, yeah.
So. Well, I'm kind of mentally thinking about like when the Bucks and Hangman were basically being like, what's the term, downcycled, and Orange Cassidy had gotten thrown by Keith Lee into the ground.
Oh my God!
And we hadn't known when he was coming back. And Chuck Taylor disappeared, and so
ongoing problem.
Do you remember we maniacally were looking for things to enjoy? Like, I think, and that's when you really started getting into Brian Danielson. I had a thing for Isaiah Cassidy. Like, I got really into Isaiah. You know what I mean? Like,
that's right. You had your Jeff Hardy phase.
That was Allie's Kyle O'Reilly.
Omicron surge.
That
was the thing, is that like we really fine tuned our ability to have fun. You know, it's like,
yeah,
are these our favorites? No, but we have to enjoy something.
But now
we will. Yeah,
I think if we had any wisdom that we could impart to people, it is probably that sometimes it's okay to just step back from wrestling, unless you're doing this podcast, in which you can't. But if you're bummed, it's okay to just say, you know what, not for a while. But if you're not going to step away, just treat it like your cruising radio stations and your favorite station is down and you have to find another station.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Make yourself have fun, and sooner or later, it will be real fun, usually.
Yeah.
And
this podcast was such a healthy exercise, because it was often like, I don't want to be like a huge negative bummer on the podcast, so I've got to think of things this week that I enjoyed and I'm going to have fun talking about. And, you know, when you start looking for good things, you can find them.
You can find them.
This podcast invented manifesting, I believe, actually.
Yeah. what little hippy dippy thing did I quote the other day? Like, I don't chase, I receive.
What belongs to me will find me. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But not in a, I think it's still good to listen. We've felt our feelings. We've criticized things. We've been mad. We've had the whole range of emotions. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is to have a little laugh.
It's to fly into Brian Cage's mouth. You find humor there. I know.
Wow.
And like really towards the end of the year, but I mean, there were many times in 2023 when I was like, boy, if it weren't for the podcast, I wouldn't be watching wrestling, and thinking like, if one of the other girls said they didn't want to do the podcast anymore, I would be all right with that. I'm not going to be the one to say it, but like if they wanted to unchain us, I would go along. But like, it's really nice, because now wrestling has been so enjoyable. And since we've been on the Social Suplex Network, like I've been feeling so good about podcasting, because we've gotten such nice like interactions with various people
we love talking to you guys,
so
happy. And we love hearing from you and hearing that you have fun listening to us. That's really nice for us. Sorry to interrupt, Dan, but.
No, it's just like, it's so nice when you're like, wow, we stuck through some rough times, and now I'm really happy. And I mean, it also like hanging out with you guys is always very fun and really structures my week. So I would probably fall apart without it.
This summer, producer Marjorie did ask to take a step back, because she got like, she spent 2.5 years listening to a wrestling podcast.
She doesn't watch wrestling.
We love her so much. Yeah.
She doesn't watch wrestling, and she took care of us for two and a half years.
She took care of us.
Responsible for a lot of women-centric podcasts existing now, single-handedly. Does not watch wrestling.
But when she said that, I did have the moment where I was like, is this it? Because I was like, you know, like, we could all call it, because I think it was, her saying that really didn't come at like a great time at wrestling. And I did think about it, where I was like, should we all stop? But I sort of feel like, you know, if we hadn't lived through that misery, we wouldn't be experiencing how fun, like, we wouldn't be appreciating like, A, how fun wrestling is right now, and B, like, how nice it is to have like the Social Suplex guys, to like have Trish and Sarah around. Like, I don't know, it's just a good landscape. And it's like, girls, we pulled each other through the desert, but now we're in Dubai. Like, we made it.
You know what? Listen,
it's weird and creepy, but it's nice.
We were in the Arctic wilderness, but none of us ate each other.
None of us ate each other.
We did not. We just all lived.
We promise we did not.
Oh my god,
Lisa Marjorie.
That would be the
who we miss okay. every day.
Yeah. Oh, we miss her. Yeah, I mean,
we love you,
Marge. We drew lots fairly, and we miss her very much.
You got we learned a lot about cannibal law.
Cannibal. That's a it's a custom of the sea. Just it was a normal thing that that you could eat your shipmates if you were like adrift on a raft in the sea, as long as you drew lots fairly.
And these are these and other topics we explore in our Discord.
In our Discord channel.
Yeah, come join us.
It's a rollicking good time in there. Yeah.
We've got to have a talk at some point about why cannibalism is the zeitgeist of the past few years. I know there's a there's some kind of thesis in there. Am I right?
Yeah. When did it start? 20 pandemic-ish?
I don't. We're going to have to, you know what? We're going to have to do a little research and we'll bring that back to the Discord.
Little research topic for us. For
yeah,
this week.
A little something for us to do this week. Do you guys want to actually talk about actual wrestling?
The thing that we're here for?
The thing we're here for, you know?
That we love, that we're glad we've stuck with.
We're glad we've stuck with it. You know what? Wrestling has enriched me, and I hope that we continue to enrich wrestling.
We do something.
We do something. Are putting a different energy out there into the wrestling ecosphere, for sure.
So true. Okay. Cope and Christian had their big, sexy I Quit match in Toronto on Wednesday and finally got their hands on each other again. Should I say it, ladies?
You should say it.
Hubba hubba.
Allie, yeah. Allie was weirdly demure. She was like, I probably won't say that on the podcast. And I was like, it's of all the things we've said.
What's well, not usually when be horny. I think it sounds like kind of twee. I think it sounds kind of like I'm a twee baby being like, hubba hubba. It's like I've never sounded more like I'm a little wine mom. Hubba hubba, said, am I right?
She's a Negroni mom.
I'm a Negroni mom. Oh, yeah, we're having our, what is this called? Tunnel?
The tunnel.
Tunnel cocktail.
The tunnels?
Yeah.
Yeah. We always have a themed drink for our anniversary, and this year it's the tunnel.
It's the tunnel. I forgot to say that at the rodeo, there was a big sign just leading into a little enclosure. I couldn't see everything happening in there that just said the rabbit hole. And I thought to myself, you've heard of the good boy hole.
Is it for good rabbits or bad rabbits?
I guess all rabbits go to the same place.
Interesting. Dang universal it. Rabbit interbreed, salvation.
Okay, hubba hubba. This match featured Canadian hockey crowd spots, ladders, gouging, spearing, splashing, interference, some of the yambag variety from Shayna Wayne, Nick Wayne, and Killswitch, and a big brave save from Danny Garcia and Matt Menard. Cope's crew ended up handcuffing the patriarchy, minus Mother Wayne, to the turnbuckles, and Cope spiked Christian in the junk with his special spiking tool just before Christian finally gave in. And now I just remembered something I was going to say, which is that do you think that the ring, the squared circle, is our podcast and that we are handcuffed to the turnbuckles?
Yeah, sometimes happier than other times. Yeah.
And Dax FTR keeps just hitting us.
Spiking
in the nuts.
In the spike yam tool. Bag region.
Not the yam bag.
CM Punk spiked us in the yam bag quite a few times.
Oh, God. Good Lord.
Someone got him out of the ring. Okay, overall thoughts and vibes.
Horny. Noises. I think if you took the noises from this match and you just put it unedited over a porno, it would be fine. It would be indistinguishable.
And I wish someone would.
I agree, about the visuals too. Yeah. When they got those handcuffs out, I was like, oh, they're doing this on basic cable. Cool.
There were quite a few moments where my eyes were bugging out of my little head, like, wow, wow, son.
They went so hard. I wasn't really expecting Cope and Christian to have it in them to go as hard as they went. I was very
I know.
Impressed.
Because AEW does a fair amount of these, right? Like, and so, like, there's times where, like, I get impatient with them, you know? Even people that I love, like, you know, like, there's a lot of matches you know, chaos matches that I'm like, oh, I love everybody in this, but I'm not tracking it. It's too busy. There's too much going on. And like, I'm overwhelmed. But this one, I mean, it helps that there was only two guys in it, but it, like, I really thought that they did a great job of like lingering in a spot just the right length of time and then like moving on again, but never moving too quick either. I just thought it was fabulous.
Yeah. And they did really creative stuff too. Like the hockey jersey stuff was very so funny and delightful. And
of all the things that Dave Meltzer will go to town on, I really desperately wanted him to tell us whether that was planted. It had to have been planted, right? Like they're those two jerseys that fit them exactly in the crowd at the exact right space. But like they really did a great job of like making it seem like maybe it wasn't, because he pulled it off that guy's body.
And that guy was giving this little face like, ah, which kind of made you be like, well, was it planted? But it was just like, put this on and at some point, you know, it's going to factor into things.
Yeah.
Like how much did he know? Maybe they knew everything. And we're marks. I don't know. But his face looked so delighted. Like he just looked like, I cannot believe this is happening to me.
It's some local wrestler and that was like his acting triumph of his life.
That's right, yeah.
I thought you were serious for a moment, and I was like, wait, do you know that, Ian? And then I realized.
I mean, I think it's probably true, but I don't know that for a fact.
Now, what did you guys think about? So someone in our group chat pointed out, they were like, well, it might have been one of you, I don't remember. But it's like, they were like, it's funny that Bryce is just having to carry a microphone around for this whole match. Was this one of you? Am I stealing from Mike?
No.
Oh, great. Maybe it was Caroline. He's just having to carry this microphone around. Which ended up being funnier than I ever could have imagined because of how much of the match was just Bryce putting the microphone in a man's face and saying, and do you consent to continue? What's your light? Green do you light. Consent? And they say, yes, I want to keep going.
It was a very, very safe match. It was
very safe.
Very sensual.
Everybody continually consented for the match.
Bryce Remsburg consent king.
It's so funny. I know we've seen I Quit matches before, but it must have been so early on that I did not retain anything because I do not remember this. And like reading the premise of an I Quit match is like they just go until they say I quit. Isn't that every match? Like that's not a new thing. But like the microphone really added so much that I was like, I think every match should have a microphone, I quit.
Yeah. I think it's like supposed to be like more humiliating, like when your older brother makes you say uncle and you're like it's worse than when he just gets you down. So
tapping out, so much more dignified.
Yeah apparently. Yeah. Some of those submission holds, are they dignified? I would say no, but sure.
In fact, I would say most of them are not. But we've often learned that our idea of dignity and the idea that the broader IWC has, they're not always aligned.
I still remember fairly early on, our friend Caroline's roommate's boyfriend was into wrestling. And we were like, ask him what he sees when he's watching wrestling or something. We said it better. And the answer immediately was like, not what you guys see.
I do feel like there were different times when we tried to feel out men, straight men, where we're like, so what did you think of that little, the part where they kissed each other sloppily on the mouth? And he was like, two men really fighting each other. And you're like,
masculine.
Cool. Good to know.
Really feeling deep. I do think that's the one thing this match was missing for me was some sloppy kissing.
Yeah.
With tongue.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know what? They're still on their journey. So it might surely tell.
Once they unite as a evil gay tag team, surely they'll sloppy kiss then, right?
Do you guys? I just said, whatever. I can't get into all that. It's not a cool reference. Okay. Cope did win, and he does have the TNT belt now. What do you think he's going to do with it, or what do you want to see him do with it?
I wanted him to win this match, but I couldn't reconcile that with having the belt because I'm like, oh, no, he shouldn't have the belt. I wanted him to beat Christian, and I don't want Christian to have the belt anymore. But Cope has the belt? No.
He needs to immediately lose it, probably to Danny Garcia.
To Danny Garcia, real bad.
Yeah. like probably at Dynasty or like in the TV matches before Dynasty. You know, like I can't say how immediately it should happen.
Dynasty would be cool just because it would be cool for Danny Garcia.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
And it's like, let him, you know, you don't want him, you don't want to make him seem like too cucked. Like, you want to match and then
yeah. Last time he lost it. Last 3 minutes. Yeah, 3 minutes. So he can have like a month, sure.
I don't know why I'm defending him in that way. I'm like, Anne, please, give him a minute.
The man has his dignity.
We really got changed by Percy Jackson. We're like, oh,
cool. Yeah.
Cope kind of a guy.
Yeah.
Kind of a little guy. Mm. I'm interested to see what character stuff we get into. I mean, I hope that the belt has a bad effect on him, to be honest. I hope he gets a little poisoned by the belt. He starts acting bad. He's understanding Christian a little better. He's missing his hands on that body, you know.
I just remembered I had a dream the other night where Cope was an astronaut saving the world, and he and I were on a spaceship flying around trying to save it. I'd been watching Oppenheimer the night before, and there was the part where, like, they're afraid the atomic bomb might ignite the whole atmosphere and blow up the whole world, and so we were preventing that, I'm pretty sure. It was an interesting choice that my subconscious made. Like, yeah, Adam Copeland, for sure.
Wow.
I'm glad you guys were preventing that. That's really civic-minded.
Don't worry. Both. We're on it.
That's how you know that our brains are, like, really, like, messed up, because it's like, yeah, that's the kind of sex dreams we're having. We're astronauts.
We are very professional in this dream, and I'm not, it's not a joke. We were.
Anne's like, don't laugh.
Nothing
we were
untoward
colleagues.
Happened.
Anne's like, you were on Earth. What, you want to die on Earth? No, we took our job seriously. Thank you, Anne. Thank you for taking care of us. We love you so much. Let's move on to our next topic, shall we?
Let's do it.
Mercedes Moné opened Dynamite for the second week in a row. New outfit, same dancing. She cut a promo referencing the injury that kept her out of commission for most of last year and then introduced a video package about what she's been up to post-WWE. She also warned Julia Hart and Sky Blue not to interfere with her desire to settle scores with Willow Nightingale. A little bit of a... kind of had to wade through that one. And then, who kayfabe broke her ankle. So then Julia Hart and Sky Blue ambush her in the ring, fighting. Stat and Willow run out for the save. Willow's maybe going to chair Mercedes, but doesn't. Later backstage, Renee interviewed Stat and Willow about their Rampage main event street fight. This was happening at the end of the 3 hours of wrestling that we watched last night because we were really good girls. Oh my God. Mercedes interrupted. Stat thanked Mercedes for saving Willow last week. Mercedes said, and this is important, of course, that's what a CEO does. She stands up for what she believes in. Willow then tried to say something to Mercedes as well, but Mercedes snubbed her. Let's start with kind of a general, this is a philosophical question, I think. Does a CEO stand up for what she believes in?
You know, I wish they would, but I think they mostly lay down for money. Don't you think?
They do, because what they believe in is corporate profits. Yeah, so that's what they stand up for.
In that sense, you are right. They do stand up for it every day. It's kind of a diss more than, like, I wouldn't praise a CEO for standing up for what they believe in because they believe in a hellscape that the rest of us are forced to live in.
That's right. Yeah.
So just some of that. I mean, wrestling really makes you contemplate capitalism sometimes. Sometimes on purpose and sometimes not.
Yeah, I do think it's funny she's doing this gimmick when the EVPs are also doing their gimmick, because there's a lot of similarities that she is coming across heelish, and like, I hope it's on purpose, but we'll see if it is, I guess. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Her vibe, I mean, like, she can't turn heel right now because it's like, having been in that arena, I'm like, it would be an Eddie Kingston thing where we're like, oh, like, we're absolutely with you in every step you take, but like, I do think that she would be an absolutely killer heel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. What did you guys think about the in-ring promo last night?
It was the same kind of promo. It didn't like thrill me, but I'm also like hesitant really to like get that judgmental, because I'm like, you do get a few of these. Like, there's a point that she's going to hit where it's going to hit like my personal... Yeah. Like, we're done. And she's not there yet. But I am like, you might want to ration these, Mercedes, because they get tiring.
I did feel like it was like, this is nothing, but I'm in my magnanimous phase with a new debut. Yeah. It's like, you get a couple. I feel, enjoy your cheers. You're getting it now. Like, the hammer's coming down when I'm sick of it. But so far, you're in your allotted quota. And I did think it was funny that she was like, guys, play this little video package that I put together. Like, as though she's Kate Middleton.
Did I ask?
No, I rewatched it, and she actually said she herself, she asked them to play it, but she said she herself put it together, which.
Oh, I asked them to play this packed. Okay.
Yeah. So, like Kate Middleton, she is pretending she is doing her own Photoshop work.
I don't know what you're saying about our Duchess, who is missing, and it is a serious situation, Anne, and I don't think you're taking it seriously.
I know. Well, she's been dead for weeks. We all know that. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is that she's also earned like a lot of credit with me because, like, again, like, she's actually doing what CM Punk said that he was going to do, right? Like, things are so, like, already, like, so much better in the women's division that I'm sort of like, if somebody straight out said to me, the women's division will rule, things are going to get better every single week, there will be more time, more resources, whatever, but the thing that you have to accept is that every show is going to start with Mercedes doing this promo, I would accept that deal. Oh sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
100%. 100%. Yeah. And, like, also, Allie wouldn't accept the deal.
if the rest of the show had, like, the women integrated in.
Well, how long is the promo taking? Like, 15 minutes? It's a lot of the show.
How long was this one? 10?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
No, so I'm like, whatever this one was.
Okay. I couldn't watch it every week, I'm afraid. I'm sorry to the women. They're going to have they're going to have to find another way to get the job done.
Allie's a hard negotiator.
Yeah, pretty rough. I thought the backstage segment with Stat and Willow was a lot better, though. Yeah, like, I think that's the problem when they do these debut promos is, like, they're not interacting with anyone. They're just kind of, like, on their own talking to the crowd, and I feel like it's just usually a lot better when there's some interaction.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely true, yeah.
Her being mean to Willow was already, had me way more interested in than anything else she had to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there's different you know what? It's fine. The hammer will come down if you know, we don't move into something else, but it's just a little difficult right now because Tony did get so many new toys at the same time. So, it's funny cuz I keep thinking like, Okada, you're such a good boy. You haven't come into the ring and done any long speeches at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're my special boy.
It's really broad-minded of him not to. I know it is too many debuts at once. If they're spread out over 6 months, it would be a little bit easier.
You wouldn't notice as much, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, everybody should be doing with what Okada did, which is just bullying Alex Marvez. Like,
so
that would have worked for Mercedes too. If she was just backstage being very mean to Alex Marvez.
That would be very funny.
It's what he's there for. Do you guys have anything you want to flag about the street fight that ended the night?
I thought it was really mean to make that because that could have been very, very cool. And if it was a real Rampage that was like airing on a different night, it might have been fine. But knowing that like it was going to air the same night as the I Quit match and that it was going to be the last match of a 3-hour event, I watched that match with like my eyes slit in my face already in the pillow. Like, it was good, but like that was mean to do to them.
It was, although I like went into it being like, it is so mean and unfair to do this. Like, there's no way they'll live up to it, and everybody's gonna be like a little bitch about it. But actually, like, I loved it. I think maybe because my expectations, like, I thought it really like held up. And I mean, part of it too was just they were going so hard, and for some reason every once in a while something like women being sort of like violent and mean and not trying to look sexy, even though I watch women's wrestling like every week. I don't know why
it's
this one particularly
like
hit me
that,
no yeah exactly so it just felt very I felt very like yeah like get yeah. up like it felt like I was like, I bet men feel like this all the time where it's like very cathartic to watch someone like solve their problems and be beating someone up like really and just like get away with it. It made me feel like listening to women's country singers where they're just singing about murdering their husbands or whatever.
I dug my kid to the side of his. Yeah,
yeah.
I agree. I liked it a lot. I do want us to talk about this question of, with the disclaimer, that wrestlers are under no obligation to harm themselves for our entertainment, and some would argue that they shouldn't do that. In fact, even Allie. But I do think that when one team comes out dressed in all white, the implication is that things are going to get a little bloody gutty. And things didn't get that bloody gutty, and that is fine. It is their right to not get bloody gutty. But I did feel like wrestling trained me, and now the training is being destroyed.
Why? We've watched for 3 years, and now we know what that promises us, and we were let down.
Why was I not allowed to see Julia Hart rubbing her bloody face all over Chris Statlander's leg?
Okay.
Like,
all right.
I deserve that.
Yeah, boy.
Okay, Leah.
Just gazing off into space thinking about that.
So true, but is it safe to talk about that? I agree. I personally would have liked to see some blood, and I wouldn't have minded if, you know, when we didn't really know what was going on, and we didn't know really about blading, so we were kind of like, is it like ketchup packets?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't have minded if it were ketchup packets. I just wanted to see something really smeared all over those white clothes. I think that's fine to say. I think it is okay for me to say that. I think I've been fine this whole time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Agree?
100%.
Absolutely. Great. Really, I'm really squinting at them a little. Do you agree?
You've been
I'm
fine.
Right with the microphone. Do you consent? Anything else you want to say about the women's division right now? Any of the characters involved here?
It's not the division overall, but they should not have done a 10-minute overrun when I had watched 3 hours of wrestling. That was outrageous.
We can't be doing that, be I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can be doing that.
Some of us have work in the morning. Come on.
Yeah. It was late for you girls, too. For me, it also was late. Like, I'm really supposed to be in bed doing my Sudoku and watching my last episode of Taskmaster.
And the dog has me on a strict routine where she needs to go out at 10 o'clock and then we begin our bedtime, you know, bath time. Not with me and the dog, just me in the bath, but... But she sits next to it, you know? She needs that.
She needs that. She needs consistency. She needs structure, as all children do. Mm-hmm. Let's just not... If it's 3 hours, that's its own separate issue. We can discuss that at a later time, Tony. But I think once we've hit the three-hour mark, we really can't be overrunning anymore.
No,
thank
it's
so got to
be...
Thank you for your attention.
I have a hard stop.
Yeah, hard, I have a 3 hours.
I have a hard stop.
I want it to
11.
Be like the pay-per-view where Sting is trying to say goodbye to us, and it just goes black. No.
Who knew the pay-per-views had a hard stop? Yeah, they had to get to another meeting.
That was crazy. But okay. One thing I do want to just say, like, about, like, especially, like, again, like, this is very chill if this is Mercedes, but, like, right now, we have, like, whatever the hell's going on with Soraya is a storyline. I mean, not that I necessarily think it's, like, lighting us up, but it is a storyline, right? We've got Tony and Mariah May. We've got Willow, whatever's going on with Willow, Chris, and Mercedes. We have whatever weird shit Serena Deeb is up to, but she is giving, she's getting time to do it. Do I know what she's doing?
Yeah.
No. But to be clear, she is getting time to do it. And Queen Amidala and Red Velvet are going to fight very soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. Collision?
I think this weekend. Well, no, there's nothing this weekend.
No, something.
Next week?
But like, we could have practiced this a little bit, but because it's not going great, but I just...
I think it's going great.
But like, this is the podcast. Cool.
What?
It's cool. It is cool, though. I mean, that's the thing, is like Soraya's storyline, like, not saying it's great, but like, usually we have one storyline, and if it's not great, that's the trash you have to eat, you know?
Yes, right. Like, that's the thing. They usually only give me one to be invested in, and so I have to be like, either I'm going to be a misogynist and ignore this, or I'm going to like have to like amp myself into it. Now I'm like, there are 5 storylines, so I could pick and choose what I care about.
How many weeks have we gotten into like the schedule and been like, I don't think we have anything to say about the women, but I feel bad not talking about the women for the millionth week in a row. It's like half the time, half of our episodes probably.
And every week I put Serena Deeb on the schedule and Allie would say, no, no.
Leah, for the last time,
I'm so
we're
sorry,
sick of
Leah.
Talking
we
about
can't
Serena
do
Deeb.
It. We just can't do it. Do you think that Serena Deeb shit that someone is going to make some... Allie, what are you trying to say? You know on Twitter when people do those mother memes? Like, she brought her cunt from Cunt Mountain because she's mother.
Wow. Like,
the thing is that I think that would make Serena Deeb so happy.
No. I think she does want to be mother, and it's like, she's not mother to me. I think there's people who might like to have her as mother, but they might be scared. They might be a little too scared to make her mother.
She's intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrifying energy out of that one.
Yeah. Well, I do think with representation, more is usually the answer. More, so some of it is good and some of it is bad. That's the best thing you can do. More, more, more. Mm-hmm. So keep at it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, lots of wrestlers have O names. Let's talk about them.
There's like maybe two people that listen to this that is gonna, and they are gonna pop.
That's gonna pop them.
That's gonna huge pop.
We can't really explain why. Debut month continues with feuds being built and belts being won. Great copy, Allie.
You write for a living, Allie.
That is some Manolo shit.
It absolutely is, yeah. It went into like a little bit of a commercial space where it's like, just got to bang out some text for this real quick. Okay, makes you think. Ospreay, let's start with Mr. Will Ospreay, who got another in-ring promo with Tony Schiavone. He did call him a slag in a tweet this past week.
And one of the group chats we're in that is like half Brits and, or, you know, half, like non-Americans and half Americans.
We learn a lot. We were a lot like, from our international compatriots.
We were like, what exactly are we supposed to understand from slag? Like,
I think we were all like, we kind of know, we think we know what that word means, but is there like a fun connotation that we don't
know
about?
How mean is it? Yeah.
I feel like the response we got was like, it's not super fun.
I thought it was like, kind of. Depends on who it's aimed at. And I thought it was like funny that it's aimed at Tony Schiavone, but it wouldn't be funny if it was aimed at like Mercedes.
Yeah. Well, I think I thought to myself, I'd love to know more about how Will Ospreay and Tony Schiavone are bonding. I want to know what they've been talking about.
It's like Tony Schiavone gets around. I've heard the rumors in the locker room.
Ospreay explained in this promo that the last time he was in Canada, he was a naughty boy, but he's changed and he's a sweet boy now. That's what we love to hear. Mostly just the part where he called himself a naughty boy. That was very funny.
I loved it.
He talked about Bryan Danielson a little bit, some back and forth about Bryan Danielson's promo. He provided some insights into his past encounters with Shibata, whom he will fight on Dynamite next week. What did you guys think about the promo?
I would die for him.
I thought it was quite fun.
It was so fun. Like, the whole vibe of it was so fantastic. And he's just, like, the way he skips out of the, like, tunnels and, like, his whole very happy energy. And, like, I got a mortgage now, bruv.
It's so funny because... He has not yet stopped sounding like he's a little tipsy. Like,
he is the best drunk.
He's been drunk
this
whole
bar.
Time.
Yeah,
he definitely has been. Unfortunately for me, his quota is up. He has gone through all his debut promos and it's cut off. And I did not enjoy his cocky little personality in this one. I was like, I'm sorry, Ospreay.
Oh wow,
you're falling down for me.
No, did I?
This is like that scene in The Land Before Time. The earthquake is coming. A chasm is forming between parts of the podcast. I liked it quite a bit. And I have to say, I thought there was a degree of new information coming in, narrative coherence to this little speech that I personally liked. I said, if you're going to get out there and talk for a while, I like for you to reveal this number of things and kind of move from topic to topic in a fairly smooth way. It's what I prefer. I agree that I don't think he we're coming up to the end of in-ring, solo in-ring time, or even in-ring time with known slag, Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone. I don't know how offensive this is. I hope not that much. Maybe run that by our Brit Picker, but well, we'll see how he continues to build. I think that when you come in with his level of, like, cheerful confidence, just like, I know I'm the best, I'm having a great time, sooner or later, someone is going to have to psychologically destroy you. That's what I need to see as a viewer.
Yeah.
So for me, there is a big question. Who is looming on the landscape who is going to absolutely crush that confidence, make you feel like complete shit, and force you to rebuild yourself into a stronger and more mature man? We have to find the man who can do that for you.
When somebody appears and says, Will Ospreay, when we lived together, when you were my roommate, we got a tattoo.
It might have been Kip Sabian.
I think it was Kip Sabian.
I can't wait for the very least.
Kip Sabian rolling in here and psychologically destroying Will Ospreay. Yeah, I'd like to see it.
I believe that he and Swerve have some history too, but I'm not really informed about it, so I can't comment on all of that. Any thoughts on the Bryan Danielson feud and like where we are on that trajectory of like, can you see what we're headed towards or not yet? I think it might be not yet.
Yeah, I don't. I think someone in our group chat was saying like that it would be very good to like let him keep winning up until Wembley, and then he loses an embarrassing mm-hmm. match at Wembley and like is crushed, and he has to spend the whole next year building towards Wembley again, and then Wembley 2025 is Brovmania. I think that would be a very fun trajectory.
Yeah, I think Polo might have said that. Although love I'm you, Polo. Not confident. Love you, Polo. Yeah, I would love that. I must see a man crushed before he receives anything good. You can't absolutely. Get something good before I've seen you at the bottom of a hole.
Yeah.
There's and the good boy Ospreay. Hole, the bad boy hole, the depression hole. And until I see you at the bottom of the depression hole, no belts.
That's no belts. Yeah.
I used to call that the pit. I would just call that the pit. I would say, yeah. I'm in the
and
pit.
And then you dig a little deeper, and Brian Cage is at the bottom of the pit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you crawl through into a warm, wet mouth.
Didn't like that.
I didn't like it either, Leah.
I loved it, so different pages.
I worry I've gone a little far, but...
I mean, Malzahar just wet and warm, like... He's a human being.
So true. You just can't argue with that. Let's move on to talking about O-name number two, Okada. Okada and the Bucks cut a backstage promo early on Dynamite, with the Elite continuing to demand that Alex Marvez show them all respect and download Duolingo. Obsessed. Love it. Perfect bit. The Bucks said that they couldn't come out ringside for Okada's match versus Eddie Kingston for the Continental title. Is that what it's called? For the Connie belt. But they would be producing the match next to Tony Khan backstage with their, as I think Matthew pointed out, with their little headsets on. And I said, thank you for painting a word picture. So few bother to do it, but I really like to be able to envision what you're going to look like.
When they cut to the video, it was accurate. That's exactly what they were doing.
Truth in advertising. Thank you, Young Bucks. Thank you to our EVPs.
When they wear white, They get blood all over it.
Which, by the way, that jacket that Matt Jackson was wearing was psychotic. Like, it looked so bad on him. It fit so badly. And like,
are they ordering these off of Amazon? Like, I feel like probably.
You know what I would like? If I were them, I would be making it a real group activity for the backstage. And I'd be like, you can sign up for a week to bring me a jacket. And that's how you're going to get those for a variety of bodies. I mean, some of them are not going to fit really at all. So Eddie and Okada slugged it out, and Okada ended up winning. Big celebrations backstage from the Young Bucks. Oh, this is what I was going to say, is that when they were celebrating and they're embracing, they're so happy for Okada, and Tony Khan is sitting there being like, I am an actor. I am doing acting. You really could tell how badly the jackets fit because they're riding up in the funniest places because yeah. they've moved their arms so much. So it's just like a shoulder pad up by the And that's my favorite thing about an ill-fitting garment.
I read someone was speculating that they were like, I just don't think that that was filmed this week. I think it was filmed last week. And somehow I thought that was even funnier if they staged last week that the two of them sitting next to Tony backstage and being like, okay, ready? So then Okada wins. Yay!
It's fun to think about how the art gets made, how the sausage gets made or is sausaged. I think we'll leave that there. What did you guys think of the match and of the, well, no, let's start with this. Should this belt exist?
No. It should be a trophy.
Yeah. It certainly shouldn't be defended. It can be a belt, like as long as it's like the Owen belt and you carry it out one time and then you leave it at home for the rest of the year.
I just don't understand why. So it's like someone is going to have the Connie and then they go into the Connie 2. C2 is whatever. They go into the Connie. I'm so sorry. It's all because of the tunnel.
We're
going
to number it every year. C2 this coming year, then the C3 the year after that.
We are pretty deep in the Negronis, but also it's like, are we covering ourselves in glory in an episode where we started off being like, we've learned so much?
We're really good at podcasting.
I think we've said some right things, at least a few right things thus far. Yeah. I don't think that much has been really wrong, except for just some of the words coming out of my mouth. But so then someone is going to take the Connie belt into the Connie, and then their energy is going to be, I'm defending this belt. I think that's wrong.
That sounds stupid.
I think that's
wrong.
Because
then what if they lose early on? Well, I guess they'd have to lose.
Well, then
it doesn't make sense.
I think the belt just goes on the...
Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe it's that they have to relinquish it. And then it goes on the pedestal and it's like you got to re-earn it. That's dumb.
Stupid.
It should be a beautiful trophy and it should be like really lovely to look at maybe.
Like a beautiful antique, you're thinking?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Something like that. Or like it's like if you could just find like an old, like a marble statue.
Yeah. Or like hand carve it out of like a beautiful mahogany. Yeah.
You know, I've been whittling a spoon this week.
Have you? I love that.
That's a fun fact. So Tony called me. I could make a trophy probably.
My friends were at an estate sale this weekend and for some reason became obsessed with a giant, incredibly heavy statue of Nike that was like $125. And they're still talking about it where they're like, I think we could have gotten him down to like $75. And like, I keep picturing that like that's what's on display is like,
that's perfect. This Greek statue.
It's too bad that the poor goddess Nike really got ruined by the shoes. Yeah, doesn't seem like a dignified god name anymore.
I mean, like, okay. So the thing is that, like, so Eddie's got three belts and you want Okada to have one belt. Eddie three belt. Okada can't really have any of the other two because he can't, like, you're not going to give him the New Japan belt. And the other one is ROH. And it's like, if you're trying to establish him as like an AEW guy, then it's like, yeah, you'd give him an AEW champ belt. But I'm like, why did we do the Roddy thing? Why can't like Okada have the Connie? The Continent? No.
International.
Jesus Christ. Tony, please. We're trying to seem smart. And you keep making new belts with similar names.
There's too many mid-card belts. Like, what are these for? What are they doing? What's the distinction between an international belt and a continental belt besides
Tony Khan said,
how many
all
continents
my wrestlers deserve participation awards. No, they don't, bitch.
This is why your wrestlers are so badly behaved.
Hey, Tony, that's what the money is for. Wrestlers are badly behaved. So I don't think the belt should exist. I think we all agree on that. It should be a beautiful, very heavy marble statue of Nike.
I think we all agree about that. I think we've come to a real consensus on that,
and
for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
You could probably get it for about $125 at an estate sale in the Boston area. If you reached out to the company, it's probably still, I know that estate sale isn't running anymore, but it's probably still in the mix, Tony, if you reach out to the right people. So follow up, that's a follow up, an action item for you, if you will.
As a billionaire, you probably have access to many marble statues when you think about it.
I'm kind of committed to this one now, but that is, it's very true that if he, I guess if he wanted to get it from somewhere else, he could. I don't know why he, I don't know why you would. Mm-hmm. I think this one sounds really nice.
This one sounds really nice. Yeah.
Don't worry about Tony. I'll give you a link to the company in Saugus, Massachusetts. It might have a lead on the Nike statue.
Maybe we could all three of us pool our money and then just like mail it to AEW headquarters, like to Daily's place. Yeah.
That would be so like, nice of us. Tony, we'd be so generous. It.
Yeah.
Get rid of that nasty rinky dink belt, Tony. We got you a beautiful marble statue.
The
because,
thing,
because craftsmanship never goes out of style.
I think, like, if we ever, like, contacted Tony as often as we say that we're going to, it's not that his life would be better, but it would be different.
It would be different. Enlarged, I think. I think it would enlarge his life. Did you, there was, like, a Sports Illustrated article where Cope got interviewed about this match and stuff, like, before the match happened, and he talked about, like, him and Christian Cage, like, when they were kids and obsessed with wrestling, they like found out where the wrestlers would like park at the arena in their hometown. So then they'd like stalk them out there. And apparently Christian Cage just as a teen, like got in the car with some famous wrestler, and, like got in the front seat and started talking to him. He was like, God. Yeah, that's pretty bold of him. It's like
stranger danger,
but that could be us with Tony Khan and this marble statue.
I love this energy for us. We just slide into Tony's car and it's like, we need to talk to you about Nike. No, not the shoe company.
The Connie belt, it's not working, but don't worry.
we have the perfect alternative.
Tony, we got this.
I think that he would have fun sometimes. And sometimes
less fun.
Fun, yeah.
But you know, you can't have 100% fun all the time. So, yeah.
Okay, well, provided that we do have this belt, which we do, and it does exist, how do you feel about Okada getting it?
It's fine. I mean, It seems like they want to give Okada something to play with until it's his turn.
He doesn't get the until debut promos, turn. So he's got to have a consolation prize. He's backstage like, Tony, why don't I get to go into the ring to talk to that slag, Tony Schiavone? And Tony's like, I don't know, but here, have this belt.
Have this belt instead. I have to say, he has seemed so delighted to just be in these sketches and be like, oh yeah, I love like my debut job of bullying. I love being a bully. I love to bully.
And I love him. He's been so charismatic doing it. I'm like, I could watch this all day long.
It's truly delightful. Yeah, I think it's fine for him to have it. I'm not mad about it because I don't think the belt should exist. I thought it was a really good match with Eddie and that.
Eddie got new gear. He had that giant coat and like his alarming wide-legged pants. But
his Ann Taylor loft pants. Yes. We must say it. And Eddie, you looked beautiful. Don't worry about it. But something about that cut was so business casual. It said, I've got a lot of meetings because I'm leaning in, and I'm dressed like this because I'm leaning in.
Yeah, like he bought those at the outlets with his girlfriend, like, you know, a couple weeks before.
For sure.
I think we all commented on this too, that we are so unused to watching men wear straight cut or long or wide-legged pants, that kind of flowy style. I kept thinking he was going to trip on them. And then to be like, I don't think he's in danger of tripping on these palazzo pants. They're not palazzo pants.
Kind of were in that genre, though.
Yeah, no, but they were palazzo
pants from Ann Taylor Loft. Like, yeah.
That's what it was, yeah.
That's what it was.
Let's all get real.
Call a spade a spade.
It's like, I think most of the men who wear long pants, either they're like tights that are tucked into the boots, or they're like the Young Bucks where it's like they have like an elastic in the bottom and are like a little bit short. And so it's like,
yeah,
it was very disconcerting where I was like, is he allowed to do that?
So he's kind of like a fashion icon.
Yeah, kind of so fashion
because
forward.
Because was his coat short-sleeved?
I think it didn't have sleeves.
Not at all?
No, I don't think so.
Wow. We're going to have to consult the... At the very least, it wasn't long-sleeved.
No.
I think maybe he is, like, kind of like, okay, Mr. Paris Fashion Week. Okay, Prada.
He looked great in that coat. Great. I loved it.
Yeah.
Ann Taylor, Prada Fashion Week. Perfect. That's our guy.
Eddie, that's I hope you're getting a push. Guy. I hope that's why this new gear is out there. Yes. Hope that's why the training. You deserve it.
I'm excited to see what happens with his character arc. I'm excited to see what Okada gets up to with his little bad boy belt. He's going to be fighting Pac. That's fine.
Kind of surprised the thing with Eddie was over so fast, though. I was a little bit like, oh, we're on to Pac. Oh, okay. I mean, that's fine.
Well, it is fine, but it's interesting that Pac is the final boss when I would have guessed that Eddie would be. Like, it seems to me like he would fight Eddie. I mean, he would fight Pac first and then Eddie at the
pay-per-view. Yeah.
I agree.
But
I guess it's a slightly complicated situation because Pac has been out of the picture for a year. So there's a real hunger for, we want to see him get up to something serious. Yeah. Obviously, I'm not shitting on Eddie. I think he should be doing everything, and I think he is the final boss. But I think it makes sense that it's kind of like, okay, he's coming back, so we got to get him in something big, high profile.
Yeah. And I mean, this also opens it up to, like, Pac might lose. You know what I mean? Because, like, I don't know which one
of them.
He probably
will.
I'm not sure which one of them will, because they both kind of like, they both kind of need it, but they also both could take it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? So like, but like, I think if he hadn't lost to Eddie,
and oh, you little rascal. Oh,
if, I didn't say anything.
Your face said it all. Not while we're so deep in our tunnels.
I think they could both take it. Yeah, I agree.
This is why I don't drink hard liquor.
Should we? Woo. Now, do you think this is anything? You know how people say roll call? Hole call.
Hole call? What does that mean?
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Do you think there's somewhere we could use that?
One of our listeners has created a Twitter account that's just recording who came out of which tunnel. And
whoever you are, you're our hero.
You are a hero. Oh, thank you so much. But also consider whole calling call. The whole call.
Whole call.
That's free.
That's free for you. Also, the service you're providing is amazing. Love you so much.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Couldn't believe it.
Well. Okay, great. Well, I'm glad that we had that little linguistic aside there, and I think we better move on
for our safety,
if that's okay. Yeah. So we're just going to transition into a quick little chitter chatter about what I've called here the taggy tourney. I thought that was quite fun and cheeky, to be honest. Taggy tourney. Thank you. So the tag tournament has commenced with wild card matches preceding round one. So the infantry won their wild card match against House of Black. I believe this. People were not that happy about House of Black's behavior here.
It was bad. I went and watched it. It was pretty wild.
I didn't watch it, but I did sit in on Trish and Sarah's podcast where the two of them were fucking furious.
Yeah. I mean, they were right. I can't wait to get caught up on that.
They just beat the hell out of the infantry and then they pinned them. But before they could count to three, Buddy Matthews like pulled the guy's head up himself to get out of the hole just so he could like beat him up some more. But then Mark Briscoe interfered. And so then they were both like lying flat, passed out in the ring while what's his name, Brody, chased Mark Briscoe out. And then the infantry guy just kind of like rolled over and threw his hand like listlessly on Buddy and it counted as a pin. It was real gross.
House of Black are such, frankly, turds. And I don't want to hear about them anymore. I want them to go to WWE or wherever they want to go. If they want to go somewhere else, they don't. Mm. And that's all I have to say about that. Oh, and I can't be seeing Dax's tweets about Dax's buddy tweets. Whatever. We can't even get into it. It's not on the schedule. It's just private bitching. Okay, and then Best Friends 2.0 Dustin's Dead Edition, as I've called it, one versus Callis Family on Dynamite. They also had a match versus Dark Order on last week's Rampage. What do you guys want to talk about here? Leah, I unfortunately didn't see this match, but I'm happy to discuss it. if you have something to say.
Well, I mean, not like anything like intense. We talked about it a little bit on last week's episode, but just
that, missed that. Sorry.
Yeah, because you were at the rodeo.
No, I mean, when I listened to the episode, don't remember what you said about it.
Oh, just that it was like an incredibly, incredibly classic Chikara match, which made me feel very like fond because it was like straight out of something that would be on Dark, like the Dark Order versus, I mean, obviously it would have Dustin in my fantasies, but like,
are you in outer space and are you preventing the Earth from getting destroyed by nuclear fallout with him? And is it totally above board professional?
It is not professional, and I'm sorry, I will be distracting him. The Earth will burn.
Oh my God. We're here burning on Earth while Leah and Dustin get it onto the spaceship.
Well, in fairness to Leah, I don't think that Dustin was really going to buckle down whether he was getting distracted or not.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think it's going to be a sexy situation.
We didn't
situation.
Send our best.
It's not going to be a sexy situation because Dustin's just going to complain the whole time. He's going to be like, the Sixers burn too?
Just crying. No basketball ever again.
No Sixers. He's like, where's old Cassidy? I can't live like this.
Oh, that's our special boy. Go ahead, Leah. Sorry.
No, I don't have anything like particularly smart to say. I just thought it was like an incredibly like classic, cute little match. And I was like, it's our 3-year anniversary. And this was like this kind of match was the exact reason that we got into wrestling.
Yeah.
I just felt very moved about that. I was like, they still like doing that.
I love that's that really match nice. Too. It's so nice. I love the Dark Order, and I love when there used to be a lot more silly little guy stuff in this promotion. And
there's not
I
that
still
many
like AEW, but we're not as silly as we used to be.
So true.
Restore the feeling. More like restore the silly feeling.
Yeah.
Get goofy.
Get a little silly.
Get goofy, AEW.
I really do. I'm like become one of those people who's like, I really do think Dark needs to come back. I need Dark.
You know, Dark, we didn't appreciate.
We didn't appreciate.
I think by the time they were getting rid of Dark, we did kind of appreciate, like, Dark serves a pretty important purpose, though.
Yeah.
Don't we need that? And we do.
I really think, like, I mean, not to get off topic, but I think the Acclaimed need, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, I think Max Caster needs to be experimenting with gross things on Dark and seeing what hits, and he can't do it.
Yeah, it's like
what you're saying is completely normal. You're like, he needs to do the comedy club circuit. Mm-hmm. I mean, or like the wrestling version of it.
Yeah. It feels insulting to be like, the Acclaimed belong on Dark, but it's like, that's not what I mean. Like, I think they
know. No, he needs to be able to try out his material. Like, he tried like 10 different disgusting, like, he was making out with people's hands. He was humping them in the ring, and then scissoring was what stuck. You know, that's how you like find your joke that hits. Weird that scissoring was the one that stuck, but it was.
You know, I think, though, that, like, it's not just Max Caster. There's lots of people on the roster who would benefit from getting to go on Dark and do some different dumb shit every single week until suddenly people are like, oh, fuck, we love that, actually. So it's just more highlighted right now with the Acclaimed because I believe they are still in possession of those belts.
They sure are.
I believe that they're parked there. I would not say that they're holding them. They're parked.
It's too bad that Collision's just like so boring every week too. I mean, it's not always, but it's like there's just a lot of wasted TV time.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry about that, Anne, because when they add a third hour permanently to Dynamite, they'll be plenty of time.
I can't believe that. I had to see a tweet today from somebody in the IWC being like, stop being so negative every time something happens. Like, just because they had this third hour, like, you don't need to start like doom and glooming about how we're going to end up with 3 hours. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Often I agree. We don't need to doom and gloom, but I think it's very important that we have a timely discussion about our willingness to engage with three. I know some of you have been watching WWE Raw for 20 years, so it doesn't phase you. 3 hours of wrestling per week. When I'm into a normal ass TV show, like I'm watching my Interview with a Vampire, which is coming back in May. It's one episode a week. Yeah. I think that's right.
An hour at most.
An hour. A perfect hour that then I can take away and unpack and write little notes in my diary about. 3 hours. 2 hours has stretched us. Okay? And I think we've grown a lot.
Yeah.
As girls. As girls and women. As
girls.
Our minds have expanded. We've received new wrinkles in our brains. And we are able to handle. We are able to handle 2 hours. 3 hours. No,
three hours.
I can't.
We gotta go sleep.
Even handle 3 hours of interview with a vampire.
I think we've recently learned that we can only do 2 hours of The Sopranos, and then we're like, we're not smart enough.
That's
quite true.
That's true. We'd have to piece out.
It's about. I think we can do up to 4 hours a week, but it's really pushing it, and only 2 hours a night. And actually, 2 hours a night is pushing it.
Yeah.
So maybe you're right.
Yeah, maybe depending on how much those episodes ask of us. Yeah, some go down easier than others, but yeah, two is about. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If they said to you, did I ask Anne this question last week? If they got rid of Collision, but the trade-off is that it was a three-hour Dynamite, would that be easier on our schedules to not have to watch another show, or would it be... I don't know.
I would take that trade-off because I have no emotional connection to Collision. I don't know that I think it would be better for us. And actually, as I say it, I'm like, would I end up regretting it? I don't know. But intellectually, I would make that trade-off.
Yeah.
I would make that trade-off because a third hour of Dynamite is going to be more entertaining than 2 hours of Collision.
Yeah, I agree. But if, and this feels more likely, if you are canceling Rampage and replacing it with 3 hour Dynamite, but then there's still a 2 hour Collision, kill me.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for me, brother.
Yeah. No. I refuse to do that job.
Rampage
Except
never.
I will, because we're handcuffed to this podcast.
Tony said, girls, you will lie down. You will take it. I can't lie down. As Anne pointed out, we're handcuffed. We're on the turnbuckle, Tone.
Them canceling Rampage would be like such a waste, because I'm like, Rampage never bothers me. Because it's like, sometimes I'm around and I watch it and I have a nice time for an hour. But when I don't watch it, it never... It negatively impacts my experience.
Yeah,
like, nobody's ever like, did you see Rampage? Because if you didn't, you're in trouble.
It also is like, I know everyone has different experiences of their week and of linear time and whatever, their social engagements and stuff, but when we all happen to be around on a cheeky Friday night and one of us says, anyone tuning into Rampage? And then a little gaggle of girls, we're just watching Rampage together. That is honestly a treasured feeling and memory for me. I feel so happy when we all tune into Rampage. That does not ever happen with Collision, A. And sometimes we have watched Collision, and it still does not have that sexy Friday night feeling.
No.
Because it's on Saturday.
Because when it's 10 o'clock on a Friday, it's like you've already done your activities for the evening. Oh, yeah. You know, you're just like in a little relaxation time. But it's 8 o'clock on a Saturday and you're home and you're watching it. But it's like 2 hours of slog and the House of Black is doing something. It's just not – it's not a party energy.
I feel like there are psychological considerations here that no one is talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. So we love Friday Night Rampage.
So true.
Save our show. All right. Damn the man. Save the empire. I think that's quite enough of this topic, to be honest with you. All right. Let's move on to our final topic of the night. We're going to check in on the title scene. Swerve got a backstage promo on Dynamite where he said he'd fight a big man for some reason. Man unspecified, reason unknown by me. Anyone?
No, not a clue.
No, amazing. Uh-uh. So then on Dynamite, he did fight a big man who was the Butcher, who was looking good. He has really cleaned up, I think, his whole facial hair situation.
The comedy mustache is gone. The weird, long flowing hair, is gone. He just looks really clean and sexy.
Now I feel bad because you've said that, and I'm just like, oh my god! It's like I am gentrification. Like, I'm just like, he can't be a freak anymore. Are we keeping Portland weird or not? I'm the problem.
No, I mean, that's another thing where it's like, yeah, of course I treasured my time when The Butcher and the Blade would come out for AEW Dark looking like the pillars of the 24/7 BDSM community, of course.
Honestly, they're both really hot. I kind of love both of them. I mean, this felt like a very, like downscale match for Swerve, like, status-wise, but I was so happy to see The Butcher.
Well, I guess if you ask for a big man on short notice, there's a limit.
I just I picture Tony in the back rummaging through his knee drawer. He's like, oh.
He's got binders full of big men.
Binders full of meat, yeah. And they're like, oh, we're using Hobbs already. What do we do?
Miro, oh, move back to Bulgaria. God, what?
God, I need another big man. That's a dangerous situation, actually, because I can see if you do too many of this, like, I need a big man tonight, sooner or later, Tony's going to be like, could we just pick up another five big men? Do you think it's worth it? I think if we just, should we just get another five big, let's get another five big men, and let's get another five little guys, too, just to, you know, just to cover
our
bases.
He's at the estate scales. He's like, they come in packs of five, so I'm just, yeah.
Costco. He's at Costco. It's, I mean, the price, you can't beat the
I'll
price.
Use them. Yeah, yeah,
I'll use them eventually. Absolutely.
God. He is, you know what? Spend that money, Tone. I will always encourage him to spend the money. He's not going to run out.
No.
He should be spending it on something I like.
And when wrestlers are so like underpaid.
Beautiful marble statues.
Beautiful marble statues. And wrestlers are so underpaid compared to other athletes. It's actually outrageous. They should be paid way more percent-wise.
Yeah. I'm worried about some of them.
I know.
Well, we're talking about this topic. Okay.
We're doing great. This this cocktail has not affected me at all.
Cheers,
again,
baby. Yeah.
We're great at podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're great at podcast. Well, you know, we don't usually have our little holes. Maybe just roll that back, I would say.
We don't usually have our little holes. So true.
I keep saying, it's really just a Negroni, so I keep almost saying Negroni, and then at the last minute, I'm like, well, I should call it by its name that we're drinking it for, the hole, which is not right. It's the tunnel.
It's the tunnel, but like we should just be calling it the good boy hole, you know?
The good boy hole. Oh, you're right. Our little
everyone in the Social Suplex Network Discord is addicted to saying the good boy hole, which I love.
I really enjoy it.
Oh my God. Really made my month, yeah.
You know what we need to address right now?
Yeah.
We
just
So on One Nation Radio, they
can't believe we almost forgot this.
A listener asked a question: are the Tunnel Talk girls in defeat? And yeah. James,
not out of nowhere, they had stumbled into their own conversation.
They ended up in that discussion on their own, but
yeah,
James for a minute read it as the Tunnel Talk girls are in defeat, and I would like to thank him for the way he tried to come up with a non-judgmental, oh.
I mean, those girls, they said, like what they like.
He said, I didn't know that.
it was a very delicate, that's between them and their God energy, as so many things are. I am willing to say, oh, go ahead, Leah.
No, I was just going to say, are you girls in defeat?
Well, I was going to come out and say, I don't, of course, no kink shaming
no
on AEW Dark. I personally am not into feet.
No.
But I am interested in the role of foot fetishism on the internet.
It is
among minor celebrities. It's like, that's how you know you've made it, is that you're on the foot fetish website. Yeah. Not us.
Not us. Although, like, when I was like 23, me and my friends got pedicures and like took pictures of our feet and then like had them up on Flickr.com so you can really date me. And then when we'd like taken regular like pictures of us, you know, like selfies at the same time. And then one of my friends was like, these foot pictures are getting way more hits than the other ones. I think I'm going to take it down. We were like, oh, and this was like whatever, you know, like 2004 or whatever. Yeah. So I had not been aware that that was a thing.
Wow. But that was a real that was a real learning opportunity. Internet
teaches you so much. Yeah.
Do either of you follow the TikTok guy who does that series of like how to things to say to piss off men?
No, I've seen videos of it, but I don't follow
he
him.
Just
They're
he
so
does
funny.
He does these short videos where he like just names things. Like one of them was, were you a preemie? Oh, you just look like someone who was born prematurely.
Like, what does okay, that that's mean? Really funny. That's so funny. I think it was one of his, like, oh, Bitcoin, like, get them to explain Bitcoin to you and then say, oh, it's like Kohl's cash.
But one of the things that happens is that his listeners will sometimes come up with things to say to him to see if they could get him upset. And one of them was that someone created a profile for him on that foot fetish website, but listed his foot size as 4. And he was That's like, good. Whoever did that, you can go to hell. Anyways, I'm amazing. Not, James, I'd like to tell you, I'm not into feet, but I'm also not grossed out by feet.
I don't want to say it only to James. I want to say it to the ONR listener who heard them talking about freak shit and said, I better check and see if the tunnel talk girls are on.
I did appreciate that. I'm like, yeah, when any social suplex...
You're right to ask.
Any social suplex host wanders into weird sex territory, just stop yourself and think, hey, what would the tunnel talk girl say?
Say, hey, we've got a couple of subject matter experts here on the network, so let's shoot this one over to them. Feel free to send us almost anything.
When James read it as a statement, I did have a moment where I was like, have we ever said anything about feet? I was like, I don't think my girls are into feet. I'm not, but I mean, yeah. Did we ever imply that we were? It's possible.
It is easy to imagine us talking ourselves into a corner where suddenly we are being like, there's nothing better than a good foot. Am I right?
If somebody aggressively was like, yeah, but in
someone's
episode,
clipping that.
If somebody was like, in episode 75, you guys really were in defeat, I'd be like, maybe.
I mean, I can't confidently say we didn't say that. Yeah.
Being like, whose feet?
Yeah.
Let's get a couple more details.
What was the context? I mean,
y'all want to talk about Swerve?
Yeah, let's get back to it.
Is that our topic?
Let's easily get back to it. He did fight the butcher. Could be a foot fetishist, hard to say. And then he had a post-match promo about wanting to fight Joe, and Smojo came out and was ultimately like, sure, we can fight. But then Don Callis came out and was like, what the fuck? There's a line, no cutsies. And he said, Swerve needs to fight Takeshita first. And Swerve was like, okay, I'll fight Takeshita, but then I'm coming for you, Joe. So now that's what's happening next week. Now, I do think, you know me. I'm an easygoing, fun-loving girl. I'm not mad at anyone. I did think to myself, okay, we are kind of drawing out a part of this storyline a little bit that I'm not sure we're getting a lot of new stuff out of. Okay, well, yes, I will fight that guy, but then I'll come back and fight you. So, you know.
Yeah, I think the Swerve Joe, like, I've been thinking about this and I'm like, it's feeling like less important, like whatever. I was like, is it the debuts? I don't even know if it is the debuts. I feel like the problem is that the action was always between Swerve and Hangman, and Swerve and Joe is like nothing. Like, well, they don't
It care. Doesn't have to be. It's just that Swerve is not clarifying where his head is at. So the thing is that, like, if you come out of the pay-per-view and say, like, Swerve feels humiliated and furious that Hangman did take this away from him. Like, Hangman swore that he was going to, and he did. He tapped out deliberately to fuck Swerve up. And Swerve is now having to sit with, like, do I deserve this? What kind of man gets to win the title? Am I somebody who can win the title? I don't know. And then he was coming, like, I don't know exactly how you would do this, but it's like, if he was coming into, like, the Takeshita match being like, fine, if you say that I have to earn it, then I'm going to earn it. And I'm going to, I'll do this the right way then. If winning it the wrong way is what kept me from getting it that night, then fine, I'll try it this other way. And that's how he stepped into being a face. Mm. That would rule. But instead, it is like, it's just muddy because it's like, he's beating up security guards. He's carrying around this chain and like being like weirdly aggressive with the chain. And, like, his vibe is just very heelish. And it's like, okay, well, what – the reason why the feud with Joe doesn't feel specific is because Swerve doesn't feel, like, clarified right now. Like, I just don't know what's – I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah. And I think it could work to have him be, like, turning face kind of gradually, you know, where he's, like, still kind of his old ways. He's fighting them and whatever. But you're right. Like, if he was hitting harder, like – his humiliation and trying to prove himself in a way. Like, if he had a clearer emotional journey he was on, it probably wouldn't matter so much that I'm not getting so much from Joe himself, you know? And it would, like, I just feel like I should feel really emotionally invested in Swerve getting the belt. And right now, he's not driving home as much, like, what that's going to do for him emotionally.
Yeah, I do keep accidentally, I'm singing a little Les Mis song in my head. I'm like, should he be doing like a Who Am I, like a Jean Valjean kind of deal? Like, do we need a little more of that? I think the other thing is like, what is Joe doing? Like, he's not wrestling very much. So we're back in like kind of like non-defending champ territory again. I don't think that... This is a little tricky because obviously the thing that was really going wrong towards the end of MJF's reign was the amount of screen time that he was getting and the amount of focus that he was getting, which was too outsized. Mm-hmm. But I do think a difficulty of having all these new debuts is that because they are new, and I don't even blame Tony for this. I think it's just it's the nature of the beast and it's the crowds, it's everything. Because they are new, like, they are the shiny toys of the show and they are getting a lot of the energy that the crowds have to give, and they're kind of the focus of, like, because we're trying to figure out where are they going to be slotted in? Like, how are we going to work them into the normal ecosystem? So Joe and the title are pretty secondary right now. I'm not really sure, like, what you're supposed to do to counter that, but I think that it makes the intensity of... like a Swerve Joe feud naturally kind of like lower because it's like, oh, you want the belt that nobody's talking about and nobody cares about? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just like, yeah. What do you really
And Joe's been so clearly a transitional champion the whole time too that it doesn't feel like a...
Well, because he has no I Want song. Yeah,
he's nothing. Like, right. I kept seeing people be like, oh, Joe did such a better job than Swerve this week. And I was like, Joe gave me nothing. Like, I don't know who he is. Like, every once in a while something comes through, but like, it wasn't this week. Like,
and I wonder if the world title seeming unimportant is a consequence of both Ospreay and Okada coming in and not being anywhere interested in it, which it's like, we didn't want them to be, right? Like, they can't win the title yet. But a consequence of both of them coming into this company with like a fever in their hearts, but not in any way like being interested, does make it seem like it's like, oh, well, if they don't want it, who would?
And I feel like the last 2 weeks I was kind of giving the whole show like more of a pass. It's like there's shiny new toys, like we're giving them some space. But I felt like this week, like it needed to click in a little more to it. Like, and it makes sense that it didn't quite, but it does feel like Revolution is on the horizon and the world title storyline needs to like kick into gear more.
Yeah. But I think also I am coming back again to, I'm like, if I understood more about Joe as a person and I like understood his attachment to the belt in a way that wasn't largely like, no, you can't have this, then like it would make the belt feel more important. Like, I know that
I guess that's right.
People in the IWC don't like to hear that from us, but
well, like, it is like, you know, Joe is like, you know, he's however old he is, 45 or something. So it's like end of his career. It is a big deal for him. Like, people who are invested in ROH are very invested in that. So if it was like for Joe, this is like his last big run, you know, like he could invest it with some kind of importance to him, like creating a legacy, like holding world title belt. But yeah, he's just really not.
I guess
I think he is. I understand what people said before about how he's a good talker. Like, he is really good at, like, he gets stuff and then delivery. He gives back. But he's not giving me anything of himself. Go ahead, Leah.
Yeah. No. I guess that part didn't bother me because to me, Joe is a cracker. Like, he just gives me, he's the conveyance of cheese. Like, like, he is what is going to bring Swerve's story to my mouth. But he... Swerve isn't doing that right now. So then I'm just left with like a Ritz cracker, which is nothing to
But I think if Swerve had somebody to play off of more, like, I think you would get more out of him too, you know?
Or would that just hide like the fact that Swerve is not clarifying? Like, is that what like Hangman, like the fact that like Hangman and Swerve had such electric chemistry, was that hiding the fact that Swerve really has not clarified who he is? Like,
yeah.
Is that distracting?
I don't know. I felt more like I knew who he was before. Like,
I agree that I have lost sight of Swerve's character arc in this moment, and that I don't feel that confident about like what Swerve wants to convey beyond I want the belt. And I think he does want to convey things. Like, he clearly is very invested in like having a character who has like an actual psychology, but I do feel like I'm not sure what to focus on right now, because we've gone back and forth, kind of like hot, cold heel face, hot, cold heel face. I don't think he needs to be like a super hard heel or a super hard face, but I need to feel confident about the I Want song. You know what I mean? And I don't, but I also don't think that you can have an effective, like a really effective title feud that I'm engaged with cracker and cheese. I think it may need to be an actual cracker that I would eat on its own and a cheese I would eat on its own. I think they both need to be bringing something to the table.
And people, when they're interacting, they bring stuff out of each other that clarifies. And if you have one person that's like not bringing much to the table and you just kind of bounce off it, like it makes it harder. Like Swerve definitely needs to clarify it more, but I do think Joe's making it harder for him to do that when there's not a lot there.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, like, obviously, like, I'm still in Swerve's corner. Like, I feel like a lot of people recently have turned on Swerve and has, like, have said some, like, incredibly messed up shit about him. And to be clear, I am not joining that corner.
Yeah. Well, people are saying some fucking
crazy shit. I would do SpaceX with Swerve. Real.
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah. I think people really needed to hear that.
I don't think it needed to be said.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's true. And I think Swerve, like, is so charismatic. Like, it has been doing such a good job. And this is really the first time he's in this, like, huge role. And I think he'll find his way out of it. Like, I do feel confidence in him. And I was watching, he did some interview with Sean Rassap at, like, the Lexington Comic-Con lately. But it was really interesting to watch. I just thought he's, like, a very interesting person and very thoughtful about what he's doing. So I think he can sort of hopefully find a direction the next couple weeks. It's weird feeling like he's probably going to win it at Dynasty and it's like coming up soon and it's like, this is your run. Like, that's the exciting part. Like, it needs to be just a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember what I was going to say, to be honest, because of the good boy hole here, but
we're deep in this good boy hole.
We're really deep in the good boy hole. I don't know. I think that there's a certain amount of stuff that's going on here that's just like, when you have three new huge debuts all at the same time, like the pH of the water is going to be whack for a while and I hope we figure it all out with chemicals soon. Do you think that sounds right? So now we have my aquarium talk. We're adding that to the kind of cheese and cracker metaphor.
So the cheese goes into the water, which we're trying to like check the pH of.
We need to check the pH. We have to make sure that it's safe for the other fish that were already there.
Yeah.
And we need to keep all these fish healthy, because you don't get three new, very expensive rare fish if you're not prepared to keep all the fish you have healthy as well.
You've got to make sure that those new fish aren't going to eat the old fish that they care about.
I think this is actually a really good metaphor. I think it's working.
I mean, aquariums are hard to maintain. It takes a lot of thought.
As John Cena knows.
Fucking John Cena. Most insane man in the world.
And that's how these fish should all be in the
ocean.
Imagine your girls making that reference 3 years ago.
They couldn't. Yeah. They didn't know. We were going to get into Hooked Jericho, but we can't. So just know we have our eyes on Big J. We're tracking him. And I hope that next week we'll get to have a really deep discussion about what to do with him.
What do you do
How
with
do
a problem?
You solve a
like
problem?
Chris
Jericho. Oh, Lord.
Did you guys read the Aaron Rutkowski article about
him? No. Can you send us a link?
I will do that.
Sweet girl.
I can also tweet it, but I think it pretty much summed up what we were going to say. So hopefully.
Oh, great.
Hopefully next
week.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hopefully next week we'll be able to be like, and Chris Jericho has fixed the thing that we were going to complain about.
I want to cheat on our homework.
Yeah, no. I'm very excited to see if the heel turns next week, and that's all I'll say about that. I think that's got to be our show. Sure.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, guys.
Oh, I did just want to say at the end here, I meant to say it at the beginning, we are recording our bonus episode this weekend with all the stuff that you guys have sent us. So we're very excited. As you know, probably most of you, if you give us a 5-star review on any platform, let us know. We'll watch something of your choice. We have some really good stuff on the docket for this weekend. I think we're going to go on quite a journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we have to talk about timing because I think we've got to dedicate a couple hours to this. We've gotten some good stuff.
We'll be quite engaged. We'll be quite engaged, so don't worry about that.
Somewhere we'll take it offline. You right now.
Oh, I think that wasn't even, that was like, it was kind of flirting with Australia. Not quite getting there.
And you're allowed to do that. That's not cultural appropriation.
Exactly. If you got the passport, you can do whatever you want. So on that note, I have been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
Oh, baby, it's Tunnel Talk. 3 years of Tunnel Talk.
3 years.
Our theme is by Chris Gorgon. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out some of the other great podcasts on the network. And if you want, you can come join us in the Social Suplex Discord, where we're learning a lot about cannibalism all the time.
Maritime law, baby.
As always, please come back next week.